Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. After 10.3, Jiva Goswami introduces in the Sarasamvadani a discussion of the Advaitavad and the Vaishnav refutal of the Mayavad theory. But it's a long section, longer than the whole Sarasamvadani for the Tattva Sandarbha. And I haven't yet written commentaries for it. Therefore, I'd rather wait. It's not really necessary to interrupt the discussion right now to go into a long discussion on Mayavad theory. We can postpone this. And hopefully, when we come back, the beginning of February, I'll have those commentaries written, and we can read all that then. So we'll just continue with 10.4. And this is simply, we had the 10.5 verses describing Brahma's visit to Vaikuntha. And now the verses will be analyzed word by word. But there was a question about this. Let's go into the questions. One question came from Madan Mohan Prabhu. Is he here? Nope. Oh, there you are. Okay, the question is, where did Brahma really go there personally, or did he merely visit there in his meditation by means of his spiritual trance, while geographically remaining in the material world? Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure, but does it really make that much difference? If you're going to go to the spiritual world, you normally can't go there in the same material body. Just like, you know, if you're driving on the ground on a heavy, you know, station wagon, you can't expect, if you want to fly, that you can fly in the same station wagon. You got to change vehicles if you want to fly in the sky. So similarly, if you're going to visit Vaikuntha, you have to change bodies, basically, most cases. Maybe some yogi can enter with his self-same body, but that's quite abnormal. So, I'm just reasoning that Brahma must have, entered Vaikuntha in a spiritual body, not a material body. What happened to his material body in the meanwhile? Whether it just continued functioning as normal or went to sleep or was put in the refrigerator, I don't know. Yeah, that's guesswork. But I think that it's sort of there's not really any difference here. If you're going to go to the spiritual world, you have to go spiritually. You can call it meditation, or you can call it assuming spiritual body. That is different. I guess the question is, did he actually receive a spiritual body, his swarupa or a temporary body, to enter Vaikuntha, or did he just meditationally think he was there? But is that really different? Real meditation is not a mental activity. It's not an activity of the material mind. Real meditation, real samadhi, is to awaken your spiritual mind and your spiritual body, which aren't any different. So it's really the same thing. If we're talking about real meditation, not just a mental imitation of meditation, then to go meditationally to Vaikuntha and to actually get your sarupa and go there, it's really the same thing. Do you agree? Or? No. Yeah.
Looks like Jiva Goswami, if I remember correctly, in Bhakti Sandarbha, he differs. Manifestation of the Lord in the heart of a meditating devotee and manifestation of the Lord in front of
externally,
him.
Externally, yes.
Externally. Looks like in the second
But that's
case.
Within the material world.
Yes,
you know, when the Lord actually appears as a, I guess, an avatar in the material world. But if you're going to go, if, you know, that's the Lord coming here. He can come on the outside or in the inside, because in the material realm, there is a difference between inside and outside, in the material realm. So when the Lord comes into the material realm, he could appear on the outside or on the inside, in your heart or before your eyes. But if it's reverse, and you are going to the spiritual world, there is no difference of inside and outside.
That's true.
And you can't go there. It's not, did he go there in his material body or his spiritual body? I don't see how he could get in to Vaikuntha with his material body.
There are a few instances, like Kumaras and Durvasa Muni, when Prabhupada says that they didn't actually go to the spiritual world. The Lord had to come out and meet there somewhere in the...
Because they didn't have spiritual bodies.
Yeah, they didn't have spiritual bodies. So in the case of Brahma, if he did go there in the spiritual world, that's why I wrote...
Okay, so the proposal is then possibly Brahma didn't really go to Vaikuntha, just the Lord showed Vaikuntha inside Brahma's heart while Brahma was still sitting in the material world.
I'm not proposing, just asking. Because
that's a possibility.
Because otherwise, yad gatvana nivartante, then if somebody really goes there, he never comes back again. But on the other hand, we do have examples of acharyas who meditated in their spiritual bodies, and they really participated in the in the lilas, and they like got fed with a lot of sweet rice and things like that.
Okay, you're arguing if we go there, you're not supposed to come back again.
But still,
if you actually go to Vaikuntha.
But still we have examples of acharyas who did apparently go there in spiritual bodies to participate in lilas, but still they were maintaining functioning in the spiritual world, in the material world, after coming back from the lilas.
Well, that's being jivan mukta, having both material and spiritual body at the same time. In your spiritual body, you become liberated. The material body, you'll leave back here. So I don't think that's inconsistent with not coming back, because you're not going to drag your material body into the spiritual world. You'll leave it here anyway. And the actual swarupa of the great soul, who's still living in the material world in a material body, that swarupa doesn't come back. Yeah, it seems to make sense that Brahma was given a vision of Vaikuntha, unless he was actually given his spiritual body. Temporarily, whatever. It seems that your proposal is reasonable. That he didn't leave the material world, he was given a vision of Vaikuntha.
I ask this question only because of the usage of the word visit to Vaikuntha. People may start asking these questions when they read the commentary.
Okay, did Prabhupada use the word visit? Can we look? Can we search?
I don't remember, but I can...
Of what? 2.9? And? That's interesting. He showed. He didn't say he brought him anywhere, but he showed him.
But Prabhupada did say, remember, that he said that the fact that they shook hands with Krishna signifies that Krishna, Brahma has Sakya Rasa with Krishna.
That's okay. Rasa may be there. Rasa may be developed. We're talking about the Sarup city, whether the spiritual body is developed, and whether he actually traveled to the spiritual world in his spiritual body. Now, you can't travel to the spiritual world in your spiritual body if you haven't yet realized your spiritual body.
Yes.
You can't use it. You know, you can't drive your car, you know, to a certain place if you don't have the car yet. So maybe Brahma has not yet realized his spiritual body and he's being given a special vision. That's a possibility. But does Prabhupada, in his translation and commentary to that chapter, can we do a folio search on this? Use the word visit.
I don't remember such a usage. Well,
can we do a search?
I can look it up.
Yeah, okay. That seems to say otherwise. But there's a problem also. Yes. We know there are indications in that direction, but are there also... Now, so how do you limit a search to a certain place? Contents... Bhagavatam, can I do this, if you mind waiting a second? Srimad Bhagavatam, 3, you already looked? 2.9, I checked 2.9, then I do a search for visit. Can I do that? Doesn't occur. The word visit doesn't occur in the chapter. go. Can I use the word go? It occurs 6 times. Let me just check those 6 times. Free to go everywhere, sure to go back to Godhead, cannot go together. Okay, it doesn't say that he went or visited. It doesn't say. Ah, I could search the word went. But anyway, it doesn't look like it says that Brahma actually went there. Okay. Now let's, one second. I'll get to you in a second. Let's mark where I say visit and put a query. Okay. These verses describe Lord Brahma's visit to Vaikuntha, and we're doubting that he actually visited. I'm not settling the question, I'm just marking it as something to look at. Did he visit? Okay, and I'll think about it more. Yes, bro. Yeah, we just, Damodar just pointed the same thing out. He just said the same thing. Yes, that's there. That it looks like the description seems to say that the Lord showed him a vision, showed him something. Didn't say that he brought him somewhere to show him something. He just showed him something. Doesn't say whether or not he brought him anywhere. Okay? And we'll see if we can find anything more about that before we decide. Yeah? Sandarshayamasa. I'll look at it. But we move ahead to 10.4, which is beginning to analyze word by word the verses. The first verse begins, Tasmai Swalokam Bhagavan Sabhajita. Jiva Goswami says, Tasmai Sri Bhagavad Agya Puraskarina Sri Narayan Ahvaya Purushanabi Pankaje Stitvaiva Tat Toshanais Tapo Bir Bhajate Brahmane Sabhajitas Tena Bhajanena Vashikrita Sun Swalokam Vaikuntam Bhuvanottamam Bhagavan Samyak Darshayamasa. Okay, he doesn't gloss. So he just breaks up Sandarshayamasa as Samyak Darshayamasa. He completely showed. Brahma had taken up a position in the naval lotus of the Purusha called Sri Narayana. Which Purusha is that? It's Govardhanachari Vishnu. In pursuance of the Supreme Lord's order. Whose order? Who gave an order to whom? Okay, yeah. And that was unembodied voice, so we don't know exactly who was talking. Supreme Lord, we don't know what form. In fact, we don't even know, just hearing Tapa, that it was the Supreme Lord. Does the verse say the Supreme Lord was talking? It just says he heard 2 syllables. Okay. Yeah, Adikavaye. No, Adikavaye is Brahma. Okay, Prabhupada identifies the two events as the same. Okay. Okay. He, Brahma, was thus engaged in worshipping the Lord with austerities performed for his satisfaction. That's the Lord's satisfaction. Satisfied by this, meaning won over by Brahma's worship, the personality of Godhead granted to him a full vision of his own world, Vaikuntha, the greatest of all worlds. So it looks like I'm probably getting into the region of error when I say he visited. It doesn't look like he actually went there. It doesn't seem to say that. Okay. Could someone check this chapter, maybe after class, whether Prabhupada does say in any words or other that Brahma went there to Vaikuntha? I didn't search the word went. I searched go, but not went. There's no went. Anyway, maybe someone could scan through the chapter to see if there's anything that seems to say that he went there. Well, I'm thinking of the English, Prabhupada's English. Search that. Okay. Yeah. Well, okay, well, they enter. That may be later on. First, you have a vision, and someday in the future, you enter. It doesn't seem to explicitly say that Brahma at that time went there. Okay. Okay, and maybe somewhere else Brahma does say that. Satisfied by this, oh, I read that. Beyond that Vaikuntha, there exists no greater Vaikuntha. Because it is the Vaikuntha of the topmost Lord. Or alternatively, the supreme truth known as Brahman, is not something separate from that Vaikuntha. This means to say that this appearance of Vaikuntha is not covered by the illusion of Maya, being a special manifestation of the Lord's personal energy. This we will clarify later on. Okay, that's what Jiva Goswami says about the first verse. And the commentary on this. Brahma heard the order of the personality of Godhead in the form of the two syllables ta-pa, vibrated twice in the sky from an invisible source. He was sitting on the lotus flower, generated from, because he, let's make that Brahma because someone might think that the personality of Godhead was sitting on the flower. Okay, Brahma was sitting on the lotus flower generated from the body of Lord Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And on that seat, he responded to the order received, which he interpreted as an advice to perform meditation. He, it's one thing to hear ta and pa, it's another thing to figure out what it means. There's another story in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad that the demigods, now the human beings, the demigods and the demons were all having some difficulty. Human beings were trying to grow food on the earth, and the birds were coming and stealing the grains, and they were getting angry at the birds. They didn't know what to do. We're going to have to kill these birds or what? Or let them have the grains? What are we supposed to do? Then the demons, they were ravaging the earth, slaughtering people and pillaging, and but they were also feeling some dissatisfaction in their hearts. So they were wondering what to do about that. You know, we're, you know, enjoying villaging the earth. Why aren't we happy? Why aren't we satisfied? And the demigods were enjoying the fruits of their conquests in heaven, drinking soma rasa and watching the dancing girls. And they were getting a bit debilitated, and they were feeling that they were losing their potency, and they were wondering what, you know, there's some problem here. So all three, just coincidentally, all three parties at the same time went to Lord Brahma to get advice. The human beings, they all went for separate reasons, and it was just coincidental they all arrived at the same time, the human beings, the demons, and the demigods. And Lord Brahma, of course, if Lord Brahma would start talking for any length of time, then you know, 50 generations of everybody's families would be dead when they got back. So Brahma only uttered two syllables. Actually, one syllable, da. Yeah. If you've not da, da. Yeah, da bhutya sreta. No, he didn't say that. He just said da. And everybody scratched their head and went home. Okay, Brahma, that's what Brahma has to say to us. He didn't say anything more. They all went back to their homes and pondered over for a while over what Brahma had told them. What does it mean? And one of the smart human beings realized, dayadvam, that's what it means. Da means dayadvam. No, I'm sorry, no. Datavyam. You got to be charitable. Let the birds have their share of the grains. They're not going to take all of it. So they realized da meant, for them it meant datavyam. You know, don't be spiteful, give some charity. And the demigods, they thought about it, and one of the smart demigods said, oh, damayadvam, we have to control our senses. We can't just be, you know, drinking and dancing with the girls all the time. Yeah, so we have to control ourselves and do our duty seriously. Damayadvam. And the demons, one of the smarter demons, realized, well, this da, what it must mean is dayadvam. Show some compassion. Just don't go about indiscriminately slaughtering everybody, even if they take shelter of you. You got to be a little compassionate. So everybody learned their lesson, and it was all from just one syllable, da. But it was important that someone in each of those groups had the insight to interpret what it's supposed to mean, and it meant something different for each group. Similarly, here's Lord Brahma. He's hearing a mystical vibration from the personality of Godhead. It's a mystery. What does ta and pa mean? So Brahma had the native intelligence, or the intelligence left over from his previous days, to realize that ta, pa is an order, an instruction to him that he should perform austerity. It doesn't mean, hey, look at the sun, isn't it really hot? Yeah, tapas. No, it means, you know, he interpreted it as, because ta, pa can be the lot, Majjhima Purusha, from tap, tap datu. You should perform austerity, ta, pa. So he properly interpreted because he had the intelligence and the depth of insight. It's not enough just to hear. You have to be able to understand what you hear. And that takes divine intelligence. It has to be given to you as a gift. Spiritual master opens up our spiritual eyes. So when we read the Shastra, it means something to us. And it may mean different things to different people in different situations. Continuing. Not knowing at first who was supposed to be the object of his worship, he executed, this is Brahma, the order nonetheless. So he did his meditation not knowing who or what he was supposed to meditate on. He just started doing it. And finally, the Supreme Lord revealed to Brahma his eternal abode. The issuer of the order had thus been the Lord of Vaikuntha Narayan. Well, okay. And he had spoken it himself or else through an agent. Okay. This is all an arrangement of the Lord of Vaikuntha who's going to reveal himself. Whether he spoke it himself or someone else spoke it for him, that doesn't matter. Those two syllables. Whether Brahma's spiritual master should be understood as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu or Narayan makes no great difference, since the first is an expansion of the other. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is just an expansion of Narayan anyway. So we don't have to argue over which one of them is really his spiritual master. They're non-different. This abode is described Let's say this abode of Narayan, because then you might wonder, what abode are we talking about? This abode of Narayan is described here as, let's just say the abode of Narayan is described here as Param Nayat Param, the supreme place beyond which there is no other more supreme. The residents of Vaikuntha, in fact, mostly presume that there is nowhere else superior to their home, but only because they are unaware of the sublime secret location of Goloka, the ultimate kingdom of God. Okay. Ten five. Anyway, Jiva Goswami doesn't mention Goloka here. I just threw that in. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Tadrishat, he will be talking about Goloka later on. Tadrishat vehetu vyapeteti swadrishteti cha avidyasmita raga dveshabini vesha pancha klesha vimohas tair vaichityam sadvas bhayam vyapetani sankleshadini yatratam. I think this avidyasmita raga dvesha vinivesha is actually a direct quotation from the Yoga Sutras. So I'm gonna mark it. Okay. How Vaikuntha is like this is stated in the phrases beginning Vyapeta and Swadrishnavadvi. There are dispelled. Well, the problem is there are dispelled is ambiguous. In that place are dispelled. Are dispelled the five distresses: ignorance, selfishness, passion, hate, and entanglement. I think that is a quote from the Yoga Sutras. Confusion, distraction of the mind caused by these, and agitation or fear. Vaikuntha is prayed to or praised in all ways by the self-realized souls who possess sight, realization of their own selves. Swadrishnavadbi, those who see themselves. This is exemplified in the third canto. After seeing the Lord of Vaikuntha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the self-illuminated Vaikuntha planet, the sages left that transcendental abode. They circumambulated the Supreme Lord, offered their obeisances, and returned extremely delighted, chanting the divine opulences of the Lord Vishnu. Could you wait just a minute? This is from 316, description of the visit to Vaikuntha by the four Kumaras. That's an actual visit. Okay, they were just at the gate. Yeah, okay, they didn't actually go inside. But they did go to the gate. Well, they were on the outskirts of Vaikuntha. Because they may have still been in material bodies, therefore they wouldn't be allowed. No, that's not true. You cannot even cross the Viraja River in a material body. It has to be transformed. What? Yes, he came out to see them. Commentary. The phrase avidya raga dvesha abhinivesha is cited verbatim from sage Patanjali's Yoga Sutras 2.3. So it is from Patanjali. It is from Yoga Sutras. I should mark it as such in the translation. In the subsequent sutras, Patanjali defines these five distresses. So there's avidya, asmita, raga, dvesha, and abhinivesha. And Patanjali gives five sutras that define these. Okay, does Patanjali have a long... Second A is long or short? It's long, in Patanjali. Okay, I got to fix that. Okay, let's check Moni Williams. Could you look, Moni Williams? Okay, the first one, definition of avidya. Anitya, short. It's Patanjali. What does it mean, Patanjali? Anyway, it's not an ordinary samasa of Pata and Anjali. Definition. Anitya shuchi dukkha natmasu nitya shuchi sukatmaka khyatir avidya. Illusion, avidya, is the impression imposed upon what is non-eternal, impure, miserable, and not the self, that they are eternal, pure, happy, and the self. That's avidya, ignorance, or illusion. Then definition of false ego. Asmita. I should put asmita in parentheses here. False ego. Drig darshana shaktior ekatma tev asmita. False ego, asmita, is confusion of the seer with his power of seeing. Can darshana, the word darshana, it's karnavacha, right? It's the power of seeing, the instrument of seeing, right? It's the act of seeing. Can it also be the object of what you see? No, that's the drishya, or drishta. Okay. Anyway, false ego is confusion of the seer with his power of seeing. That means, you know, you're seeing the material world around you, including your body, and you think that's you. That's false ego. Then, sukh anushayi raga. Affinity, or raga, is anticipation of happiness. You can also call that attachment. Or being attraction, raga. I just use the fancy word affinity. Duk anushayi dvesha. Enmity, the opposite of raga. Enmity, dvesha, is anticipation of unhappiness. Okay, I don't like that thing because it's going to make me unhappy. Or I like that thing because if I can get it, it will make me happy. That's raga and dvesha. Swarasa vahi vidusho pitatarudho binivesha. Obsession, abhinivesha, drives itself along and is found even in the wise. If they only knew about it and could be convinced of its superiority to material life, everyone would be attracted to the possibility of residence in Vaikuntha. Okay? People don't know about Vaikuntha. They have no idea about it. And other people who have some kind of idea about it are not convinced that it's really superior to material life. They think it's just a fiction, some fantasy. But if people did have information about Vaikuntha, and if they were convinced that it's really better than material existence, everybody then, all those people, would be attracted to the possibility of residence in Vaikuntha. Why not? But because of the deluding potency of material nature, few are able to gain this knowledge and conviction. To be privileged with realization of Bhagawan, one must first earn self-realization. Svadrishta vadvi purushaira bhishtitam. Those who can properly praise the Supreme Lord must have first discovered who they themselves really are. Or as Krishna explains this in the Bhagavad Gita, 1854, Brahmabhutak prasanatma nashochati nakankshati samak sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. So, first become Brahmabhuta, then you can enter the higher stages of devotional service. Realize yourself first. Of course, realize yourself as a devotee. Then you can actually function as a devotee. Then we continue. Thus, Brahman realization, at least in the sense of understanding oneself to be pure spirit, free from material affinities and aversions, is a necessary prerequisite to beginning the higher development of loving service to Bhagawan. Brahma is an example of someone who purified his understanding of the spiritual nature and then found God in his own abode. Similarly, the ever-youthful Kumara brothers, already situated in impersonal self-realization, attained the ultimate perfection of their lives when they met Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to stop there. Just some difficulty in breathing here. This Anucheed 10 goes on. We've broken it up into 14 parts. Almost halfway through it. This is, the rest of it is continuation of the analysis of these 10 verses. Okay, so we'll stop here for now. I'm sorry it's a little short. Okay, thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Sri Tattva Sandarbha Ki Jai.